Boyos, Any Given Sunday is proud to be sponsored by one of Australia's fastest growing men's grooming brands, Nutcare. You can see the tube here. Ooh, it's been used a little bit, maybe. I don't know. Proudly Australian, Nutcare is taking down under grooming to the modern day man. It's been recently voted number one by Men's Health magazine with Bare Nuts Pubic Hair Removal Cream. That's this little puppy right here. Nutcare is revolutionising male grooming. As proud sponsors of Any Given Sunday. Oh, what do you got there, Macca?
I've got the wood.
Shout out. Macca's got wood still, as from last week. Proud sponsors of us lads here at Any Given Sunday. You do get a little gift if you make a purchase from Bare Nuts. So just at the checkout, code Any Given Sunday is going to give you 10% off your order. So remember, code Any Given Sunday at checkout, and that's going to get you 10% off. Get some smooth nuts, boys.
Smooth nuts. I like the little ruffle of the hair. It's good. You got a lot going for you at the moment.
Brown 45. Brown 45. Hot.
You are listening to Any Given Sunday, Australia.
Yes, hello and welcome to the Any Given Sunday Australian podcast, the number one podcast in at least three households, one studio, the Gridiron Australia head office, Winnipeg, Pittsburgh, the ABC head office now. I'm pretty sure we are definitely number one now. With that was a massive episode and a lot of hits from that episode. We're getting a lot of love about the Charlie Pickering episode. Danny, you especially?
Yeah, heaps of love and a massive glow up as well from Charlie himself. He voted us the number one Australian NFL podcast. So our job here is done, boys. Let's go.
Well done. Only took us 12 months and we made it. Well done, boys.
That's a pretty good return.
Applause for us.
That's good.
Yes, absolutely. I've already kind of gone into it, but joining us, as always, we'll go to the other side, down in his basement, wherever that may be, is Mr. Tim Cardy, TC24, at Tim Cardy, AGSAU. How are you, mate?
Oh, brilliant, mate. Very good. As you've alluded to, I've slightly brushed my hair differently and you picked up on it straight away. But heaven forbid you try and do something a little bit different. But now going good, mate. We're just in the baby bubble still down here. So, yeah, loving life. I'm rocking some new merch too, which I'm very, very, very crisp. The crew neck. It's not a cream. I'm not sure what you'd say. But then with the Any Given Sunday green.
Oof, she pops.
She just pops. Hello, Danny boy. Yeah. Oof. So this crewy, very happy with it. But life's good, mate.
Beautiful. And at Danny Webb, AGSAU, our junior boy turns senior boy. How are you, mate? You've also got your own fresh merch there.
Yeah, rocking the Eagles, Any Given Sunday Eagles colours. For those who can see, we've got the nice midnight green with a black shadow. So if you want to get any of your favourite teams, there's now Any Given Sunday tee with your favourite team colours on there. So jump on the link, which will be in the YouTube link on the Twitter. Grab yourself some merch.
Absolutely. And
as Macca said last week, you don't have to get just your team. If you like the look of those colours, because it is just the Any Given Sunday logo, so you can get away with it if you like the look of the colours.
But the colours, Danny, we put a lot of time in the colours. You found the actual colours of every team, and I was able to put in, so they are the actual midnight green of the Philly Eagles, isn't it?
Yeah, the exact colour code. We went real nerdy on it. That's what we do. That's what we do for our fam.
That's the level of detail you're going to expect from this new merch line. So
yeah, it's very, very crisp. So I'm looking forward to getting my order come to me, and then I'll be rocking some new ones as well. We've got some news that, again, we're just going to touch on before we get into our NFC East preview. I know we said different, but we've gone NFC East this week. The news: Jonathan Taylor has asked for a trade from Indy, boys. I don't know. He's also sitting out. He's at practice, but he's just sitting out with a very sour face and not really good going on in the whole running back world, really. But, yeah, he's the latest to say, nah, I want out. And I think there's a little bit of tension between him and the owners as well, which is not ideal.
Yeah, the running back saga continues. Like, I think they had a meeting in Jimmy Osei's bus or something like that, or a team bus or something, and after that he's come out and he's requested a trade, or reiterated that he requested a trade. And then there's been some strange stuff. They've placed him, well, they said he's got a back injury, non-football related, and then he came out and tweeted and said, I don't know about, like, check your sources or things like that. So
yeah,
the running back saga just continues. So he's a pretty important piece at the Colts, like, as much as Ursay would like to play it down. He's a big part of that offense when he's up and running, so...
Yeah.
I'll take on to him.
Anyone who can score 6 touchdowns in one game is definitely huge.
They go okay. And, yeah.
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. And Danny, we've had Cooper Kupp, Joey B, and Jalen Ramsey all go down with early injuries in camp. That's not ideal for especially those who have already picked them up in fantasy football.
Mm. And that is lucky why we haven't started our fantasy draft yet.
Why we've been holding off, boys.
Holding off. Let's get through training camp. Let's get through this first game tomorrow, the Hall of Fame game. And let's see who's left over after that before we actually set up our draft. But it is on its way for all those fantasy lovers. We promise.
It is coming. It is coming.
We did say sort of early August, early to mid August, we'd get the draft going. So we're still on track.
We are. So there's some three pretty huge news, huge injuries, especially Ramsey. I think he's actually gone under surgery, so he'll be out for a few weeks. The other two, just fresh. I think Cups is a hammy and Burrow looks like a calf. So just nurse them through and whether they start the season will be keep an eye on it kind of stuff, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah. Today, the NFC East preview. The first half of it is brought to you by C2C Rare Threads. Like we keep saying every week, these guys have some absolutely incredible gear and shoes. I actually sent them a message. You can get onto them. They're going to look for some Nike golf shoes for me, which is absolutely...
Aww.
Yeah, just some Jordans. They said they're going to keep an eye out for me, which is incredible for them. So they do personalize if required. So best way to find them is through our socials. You'll find also the codes, any given Sunday flat. As it is for all of our promo codes, 10% off any order. They're huge by them, and also $10 off if you get
$10 back on sneakers and stuff.
Yeah.
I tell you what was huge. It's the fact that you haven't mumbled or stumbled the whole way through this episode, the whole 10, 15 minutes or however long we've been going until that point, Barry. Then that was huge by you. You got through your own intro, and it got to an ad read, and you crashed it.
And I'm there. We're about to sit back. I've got the review of last season, so I've got about 6 points, and I'm sure I'm going to mumble one of these ones. But Danny started us off a couple of weeks ago with the beautiful read of last season. Cass, you did not too bad last week, so let's see how I go with my one. So we've got the NFC East, like we said. It was actually the toughest division last year, boys, is in the closest. So they had a combined 43-23 and two. So the and two was actually two of them playing each other. So technically and one. But 43-23 was the best win-loss ratio. The Commanders, they were the only team out of the four of them that didn't make the playoffs. They had an 8-8-1 record. They were 7-5 at week 12 and then went on a 3-game losing streak to finish the season. They ended up finishing with a win. But at week 12, they would have seen themselves sitting pretty... actually to make a fair, decent push for the playoffs, but they end up being the only one that missed out. So the New York Football Giants, they finished the 6th seed in the playoffs. They were 9-7-1, so they were the one against the Commanders, showing how close the Commanders were, so they were only that half a game ahead of them. They had the worst points differential for any team in the playoff, though, with -6 compared to the 49ers who had the best, and they were +173. So you think if you're scraping through like that, you were pushing shit uphill early. But they did go on to beat the Vikings in Minnesota, 31-24. But they were no match for Danny's Eagles, 38-7 in the divisional round. That's when they went out. The Cowboys, they finished off 12-5 and finished 7th overall in the league. They, again, went into playoffs. They won week 1, 34-14 against the Bucks, and they officially... retired Tom Brady, so that's huge for them to say.
Nice chat, yeah.
But they end up falling 19-12 to the 49ers in the divisional round. On the back of Dak's 206 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 interception game. He actually led the league with 17 interceptions in 2022, so I'm sure that's something that he's definitely going to be working on going into this year. And Danny Boy, your Eagles, they finished 14-3, first in the league. On the back of Jalen Hurts, 3,701 yards, 22 passing, 13 rushing touchdowns, and only 6 interceptions for the season. So, I'm going to finish this. The Eagles, they ranked 2nd overall defensively and offensively. And in the playoffs, they went 38-7 against the Giants, 31-7 against the Niners in a game that ultimately where nothing could go right for those Niners. and they ultimately fell 38-35 to the Chiefs after leaving 24-14 at halftime of that Super Bowl. Danny, yeah, we all remember that. You actually weren't there for us, but the rest of us remember that. So the Eagles, my last little point, the Eagles are the first team trying to go back-to-back in the NFC East since they went back-to-back-to-back-to-back. They won four in a row from 01 to 04. So it's been, what, 20 years since the team's gone back-to-back. Joining us, the reason why we went the NFC East, he's come in late. He's going to come in hot, which we hope. He's a man that's all about town this time of year. I think he's all over the Matildas at the moment. So we're very lucky to be joined by our ESPN very own Loz Haresh. How are you, mate?
I'm good. I'm sorry I'm late. Better late than never, I hope. But no, look, it is frantic times right now. Usually this time of year, like you get a little bit of run-up to the summer of sport for ESPN here, obviously, like massive around the NFL, obviously what we're here to talk about. NBA is not too far around. We've got the FIBA World Cup coming up, which is on ESPN. I'm not just here to plug ESPN. UFC coming up in Sydney not too long. It's literally hitting the same weekend that we have opening weekend of the NFL regular season. Not to mention, Ashes just finishing up every other sporting. We've got local footy codes. There's so much on. I've probably forgotten something there. NBL not too far after all that, after the FIBA. So there's so much going on. And that's been the tempo this season. It always depends, like working in sports media, often that kind of June, July, your local footy codes are hitting their straps, NBA's phased out. We're obviously not in the NFL season. Usually, depending on like what the big international football tournament is, if there's a Euros or a World Cup or something, it's usually around then. That's been off kilter in the recent years, obviously with COVID affecting anything. But this year, it's just everything's on. Home World Cup especially changing that. So lucky to be working with the rest of the ESPN Oz team, helping with coverage and working a lot with Marissa Lord-Darnick, who's our frontline Matilda's beat reporter on this. So there's a bunch of us working with her in different towns as she's traipsing around on that Matilda's beat. So look, so much going on, but the NFC East doesn't sleep. And I love that we're coming in talking about, this division. And I won't say anything about the result that you just mentioned that happened in February there. Don't know if anybody else was walking around town for 2 weeks beforehand with an innate peace that had settled on the fact that the Eagles just weren't going to win that and they'd settled on their Kansas City Chiefs pick. Won't say that was me, but won't say it wasn't. So I'm happy to be with you guys on a cheery, cheery Thursday.
You have come in absolutely firing. So I've just gone through last season, mate, and that's pretty much it. We did the nut care, so Karts was all over that. You didn't get to hear that one, which is unfortunate. But, mate, you've just come in absolutely firing, which I love. But we do have a little bit of a run sheet. So what are we up to next? I think it's Karts. Is that – oh, no, Danny with the ins and outs.
Danny boy. So yeah.
Shoot through, mate.
So, yeah, let's start with the Commanders because – like you just ran through, they did finish last in the division, if it was only just. We'll start with their draft. In round one, pick 16, they got cornerback Emmanuel Forbes from Mississippi State. Round two, pick 47, cornerback, Jatavarius Martin. I feel like that's not right whatsoever, but we're going with it.
Can I step in and help here? If it helps, I believe he also went by Quan Martin in college. So if that's easier
way
for you.
Easier. Yeah. Way easier.
I'm just here to help, boys. Hell of exactly. A player. So explosive. That Illinois backfield was stacked. They had so much talent there. So, yeah. A guy I really enjoyed watching then was so happy when they NFC East rival picked him.
Which works out great for you and I both. And then round three, pick 97, they picked up the center, Ricky Stromberg from I actually have where he's from. If anyone wants help out there, nope.
I helped you out last one, mate. I can't do everything.
Yeah.
You're an Eagles fan. I'm not going to give that much charity away. Come on,
man. And then they've got some pretty big outs. The quarterback, Taylor Heineke, he's gone. Running back, JD McKissick. Quarterback, Carson Wentz. Offensive guard, Wes Schweitzer. Offensive guard, Trey Turner, linebacker, Cole Holcomb, and then safety, Bobby McCain.
That's it.
And then the ins, they've picked up the guard from the Giants, Nick Gates, offensive lineman, Andrew Wiley from the Chiefs, quarterback, Jacob Brisket from the Browns, linebacker, Cody Barton from the Seahawks.
Who was that second last one you said?
Jacoby Brisket.
Ah, Jacoby Brisket. Yeah. I thought that was brisket. It. What a delicious brisket. Any names jumping out at you there, Loz? Any names to note? Anyone that we should sort of be watching?
Draft class more than the pre-agency was my feel from Washington. I'm going to go back to calling the football team for now. I'm not entirely sold that we don't see another name change.
Yeah, that's the rumor.
Look, the biggest in and out, if we really want to get to it, is the in and out of ownership, right? That is what the big page turning for that franchise is. And we'll get into, I love the rundown. It's just Loz, extra random whimsical thoughts that comes to mind. And I don't want to spoil all of them now, but that's it, right? Like, that's what you're hoping is energized. I loved Emmanuel Forbes coming out, you know, absolute ball hawk. The only knock on, he's had my favorite film out of all the cornerbacks. The only knock was that, you know, he's weighing in around 170, 175 pounds, despite being north of six foot, comfortably north of 6 foot, and that there was so few precedents set in that body type at that position that it succeeded. But really, the one that came to mind for me was hopping back to your Eagles, but we're talking about Devontae Smith being that 6 foot size, but down low in that weight range. The size didn't show up in college. He played plenty tough. He's physical tackler, some very good form tackles, especially when we're talking about NFL defensive backs. And I know it's a bunch of Australian NFL watchers. Tackling form is certainly something that gets a little bit sensitive for us, let's be real, especially around those DBs. But he had some really good form on some of his hits. Great ball instincts, really natural, like, you know, some of the feel he had in zone coverage of when to peel off, when to make plays on the ball. It's tough, like, this time of year. You try and follow all the different beat reporters and the different footage, and you're seeing so much highlights more than consistent down in, down out stuff, especially with what you're actually allowed to film or what folks over there are allowed to film and practice. Just looking at a few snaps, like, you see the comfortability, the willingness to get physical off the line. You're seeing that in practice against a really good wide receiver core that they have in Washington. You do see he doesn't need to get grabby, but he does a little bit. It's like, you're super long, you're super fast, you've got great instincts, you sync really well, especially for your height. You don't need to get grabby, but you do see it's like he loves hand fighting. And you can see that, especially against some of those bigger receivers, like, I think saw some snaps against De'Ami Brown, where you really see him start to throw those hands out there. That's just kind of polish, and that'll come as comfort increases. But yeah, I just like the defensive front, we know with all the first round picks, is so loaded. I really liked the addition of Martin alongside Forbes there, because that's outside of Cameron Curl, who seems to be getting a lot of good pub coming out of the first few padded practices we're seeing in Washington. I think that's where you needed an injection of talent on the Washington side. But yeah, biggest in and out, change of ownership, and starting to remove what has been just a huge stain on the NFL, Dan Snyder's stewardship, we'll call it at best, of the Washington franchise.
Yeah, we don't even need to say his name anymore, which is awesome. A quick one I want from you before we go to Carts with their opponents. Taylor Heinicke moving on. I really thought he was a big thing about their turnaround last year, and, you know, really kind of a good news story and a real locker room kind of guy. What are your thoughts on him? Is it to Atlanta he's gone to, I think?
I think you're just talking about ceiling there, really. Like, I agree. Like, he certainly played up and beyond his build talent level and seemed to galvanize players around him. Certainly not something that you can say consistently about someone like Carson Wentz, who at one point had all the physical tools you want. And again, I'm not just trying to make life tough on any Eagles fans that are on this podcast or watching any. But there's no secret that the toolkit that Carson Wentz came into the league with, Heinicke wasn't blessed with that, but certainly from some of the intangibles, right? The guts, the grit. He certainly embodied that. But if we're talking about ceiling here and what we're trying to achieve at the quarterback position, it's not a surprise they're looking to move on. They're going to give, it looks like, Sam Howell the best crack at this. But with that shaky offensive line, and you mentioned some of the names, you know, Ricky Stromberg out of Arkansas, I'll give that now. That offensive line still has so many question marks. And I feel like when we go into preseason stuff, whether it's talking with you guys or talking on doing Brekkie show stuff with my co-host Phil, I feel like I beat the drum of, yeah, but their offensive line is suspect with so many teams. But it is just the, in my opinion, it is the biggest Achilles heel for a roster that you can see outside of the quarterback position. If you have a flaky, shaky, leaky offensive line, then it just does not put you on any sort of platform to success. And that's what I'm looking at this Washington team that is, you know, Jahan Dotson, Terry McLaurin, Curtis Samuel, wide receiver, and talent they have behind them. They're hoping to get a little more back at the tight end position with some more health there. We mentioned that the first round picks that exist on that defensive line, additions that have made at the secondary, but whatever quarterback change happens and Sam Howell being there, I'm still not sure. We've mentioned a lot of positive things so far. I still don't think they're putting him in the greatest position to succeed behind a substandard offensive line.
Speaking of, Cards, how are they going to go this year? What are their games?
Yeah, so what we're trying to do now, Loz, we just sort of look at the schedule and five big games. So
Loz watches every week. He knows how it works.
He knows, I know. But for anyone that's joining for the first time, but obviously week one, off the back of the new ownership, I sort of penciled that in as obviously a really huge game. Got Arizona at home at football. What do we call them? Football team? football team stadium or whatever. So Arizona at home. Just off the back of the new ownership and, a bit of a change of personnel, quarterback and that sort of thing. Obviously a big, big game there. Week two also in Denver, taking on the Broncos. Sean Payton obviously going over there, change of coaching. Is Russell back? I don't know. They obviously were pretty disappointing last year. The Broncos going to be looking to bounce back. Week five, they've got the Bears at home. Another team coming off a disappointing year. Last year, looking to improve, they've backed in Justin Fields. They've gone with their man. He's their franchise man. So, sort of the theme is sort of those teams that are probably going to be around maybe that same sort of spot in the, I guess on the ladder that what I'm thinking the Commanders will be. Week nine at New England, they've got the Patriots again. We don't know really what the Patriots are going to be next year. That a lot of people obviously tipping them to lose their division. Could be a tough year for the Pats. And then I've sort of earmarked the bye. So they've got the bye week 14. The games going into and coming out of the bye, huge for the Commanders. They've got the Finns at home and then away at the Rams. So obviously the Finns, pretty impressive outfit. If they could jag a game there going into the bye, huge, and then come out of it and have another win against the Rams, I think goes a long way to having a much better season than last year. But yeah, they're sort of just the five, I guess, six games that I've looked at and earmark there. Do you want me to do predictions now, Macca, or we do that after?
No, I'll do that after. You got predictions or have I got predictions?
I went and did it, but yeah, maybe you've got it.
I think I've got them this week, but nice to see how we match up anyway.
You keep changing it. So.
Yeah, I do like to change it. So anyway, Danny, yep. What's your next team?
Next we move on to the Giants. They're in their draft. They picked up in round one, pick 24, cornerback Deontay Banks from Maryland. Round two, pick 57, center John Michael Schmitz from Minnesota. Round three, pick 73, wide receiver Jalen Hyatt from Tennessee. They're the top three.
Beauty.
then they're out. Julian Love from the Seahawks. The safety, we got guard Nick Gates, who's actually gone to the Commanders, which you just mentioned. Wide receiver, Kenny Golladay, going to the Lions. Wide receiver, Richie James. Guard, John Feliciano. Linebacker, yeah, Jalen Smith. Cornerback, Fabian Moreau. And then their ends, the tight end, Darren Walker, who's come from the Raiders. Linebacker, Bobby Okereke. Wide receiver, Paris Campbell. Wide receiver, Jameson Crowder. Defensive lineman, Rakeem Nunez Roaches. Defensive line, Ashawn Robertson. And then safety, Bobby McCain. And nice. A big major one, which actually we really should talk about, like because it was especially talking about the running back room, is Saquon Barkley obviously coming back for that one-year $11 million deal. Like that huge has recently been signed.
Yeah. They've gone heavy on, so they got rid of Golladay, who was unhappy last year, but they've brought in a lot of wide receivers. Oh, and, you know, Darren Waller, who's huge at the tight end position.
Yeah, so obviously them picking that up from the Raiders is huge. It's going to be, it's going to give Danny Dimes just like a couple more options on the offense, which is big because obviously he's also signed that massive deal as well.
Yeah. Anyone else standing out for you, Loz?
I always tend to lean towards draft impact. That's probably just being a sucker for the draft class and draft season in general. But Jalin Hyatt, so much noise already. Like, wide receivers often get a lot of the hype around this time, especially as we're working into padded practice. You know, when it's just like the shells out there, helmets and shells, you are seeing the most, it feels like the most impactful stuff you'll see is cornerback first versus wide receivers or DBs versus receivers, just because it's a little more close to what we might expect in a live snap. Whereas when guys are out there, and, you know, helmets and shells and we're not seeing proper pads and on the offensive line, there's a fair to look, take, you know, a fair, you know, pinch of Himalayan pink rock salt to it, to what you're seeing there. But Jalin Hyatt, one of these young receivers, get a whole bunch of noise the last few days. The speed is obvious. His question coming out of Tennessee was, this is someone who played a lot out of the slot, and because of the offense that they ran at Tennessee and because of his speed, he was facing like 10 to 20 yards off coverage constantly. He was not beating press, which is something that you're looking at coming into the pros, but early signs are, you know, you're starting to hear that drumbeat, starting to hear that hype drumbeat build up. John Michael Schmitz is getting some snap work in the first string offensive line, an offensive line that they've had an absolute success story when it comes to Andrew Thomas, talking franchise elite left tackle. He could be the one that takes over the mantle from the Trent Williams or the Tyron Smiths of the world as the top left tackle. No shots at, you know, friend of both our content hubs here, yours and ESPN's Jordan Mailata. No shots at him there, but Andrew Thomas, he's on that trajectory. So if they can hit on someone like Schmitz, that's massive, because that offensive line for the past half decade at least has been an absolute sore point. And you mentioned Banks. Some of the film you're seeing out of training camp. I love Deontay Banks out of Maryland, like just a cover and clobber with speed type of, you know, specimen at cornerback. You know, some rookie pains, but having a better days that goes along, looking at some of the reporting by ESPN's Jordan Renan. But interesting that spot is that they drafted another cornerback late on, Trey Hawkins, who's also started to, out of Old Dominion, you love a college like that, someone getting some pub from Old Dominion, but Trey Hawkins starting to get some look up the depth chart as well. Not necessarily smooth sailing, but interesting just with the Giants, where it feels like their approach, was it death by a thousand slot receivers that they were trying to inflict on opposition defenses? I don't think it particularly worked. I think it was more of a hindrance on them. But you see someone like Waller, who, whilst he plays tight end, and that's what it says on the depth chart, he probably looks more like an outside receiver than a lot of the talent they have at the receiver spot. So interesting to see anyone who watched a bunch of Giants games last year beyond just the box scores, there was so much window dressing, you know, spit and polish, whatever you want to call it, on this offense. There was motion, there were odd formations, it was constantly this moving puzzle piece, credit to Brian Daboll, to put Danny Dimes in a position to make less mistakes, which he didn't have a huge amount of touchdowns, but also there was certainly less of the less offense stalling, game deciding mistakes being made at the quarterback position. He also finished dead last in average depth of target, or average depth of throw, on average per snap. So you saw that offense had really changed. Let's create a whole bunch of confusion before and at the snap, and Danny, just get it to an open guy near the line of scrimmage and let the skill positions, you know, go to work, get the yak, keep the chains moving. So year two, amazing job from Daboll in year one. Year two, do we see something more, not traditional, but more in the image that Daboll would have planned, start to come to fruition, with Dimes now on the books at $40 million a year?
Danny boy Dimes got his bag, didn't he?
Certainly did.
Well, and like, because they started off last season a lot hotter than what a lot of people, us included, sort of predicted and thought they would go. They obviously tailed away, but their start to the season last year was nowhere near where people were predicting or thought they were going to be. So,
no, not at all. And that's the question now, right? The rest of the league has now had a good look at what Daboll threw down, how you can counteract a very different look. There's a lot of sharing in the offense. It's very much in the league. There's a lot of sharing concepts. It's a copycat league, but certainly what the Giants were doing stood out. As less regular than your average NFL offense that you'd see out there, certainly more creative, and designed to attack you in different ways with so much motion, including with the quarterback on the move as well. Now that that's out there, what's the next step for Daboll? And I think anybody that's spent time watching Brian Daboll coaching units over the years knows that this is someone who's an incredibly respected offensive mind. It'll be fascinating to see with the addition of talent and also just the addition of time what he's comfortable putting on Daniel Jones' plate, and whether we see, as that responsibility increases, the less dimes and more picks. We'll see. But it's a fascinating one to watch. This is conversely to what I just mentioned about command of the Washington football team.
I think you've still got one more season. I think you've still got one more season. The Commanders, maybe.
but conversely, I think they are, you know, picks on the offensive line, trying to get a more balanced receiving room. Saquon Barkley coming back, and the head coach being who he is, I think they are putting Daniel Jones in a better position to succeed, a more tangible one that I can see play out on paper.
For sure. And playing it up. So looking forward to this year, I've actually gone for my five games. They're all home games for the Giants. So week one against your Cowboys, I think, is huge. Kind of set the tone maybe a little bit for them. Divisional rival, massive game at home. If they could grab a win against you guys, I think that'll be massive. The Seahawks, week four. Obviously, Geno's got paid. They've held on to a few of their weapons. The Seahawks could be a little bit of, a little bit of a beast this year. Again, we're not sure. Week eight, the game against the Jets. All the hype around Aaron Rodgers, and then it's the crosstown rivals, even though they're both New Jersey teams. The New York Showdown. What do they call it over there? I don't even know.
Snoopy Bowl.
Snoopy Bowl. That's cool.
Yeah, that's week eight. Completely wrong. Could have just plucked that at
you know, familiar.
Talking straight out of yep. But I think it's a Snoopy Bowl.
Cool. I'm gonna Google that quickly. Massive. Week 14, Macca, your cheeseheads are coming over, and
that's
W. I think 14 weeks in, we're gonna sort of know what Jordan Love is, or how, you know, who Jordan Love is at that point, whether they're a team or not. And then week 18, finishing off against your Birds, Danny Boy, that. They're going to be coming off 2 6-day breaks in a row. So just that sort of shortened turnaround going into week 18, see how much it affects them towards the end of the year. Obviously, massive game against the Birds.
You've done your research, Cards. I love this. This is great.
It's just the level you've got to expect.
All right, while you're on your research, you mentioned game one, so I'll throw this at you, completely derailing the rundown here.
We have a rundown.
You mentioned week one. Soup, like massive, you know, NFC East football, big spotlight, you know, TV executives loving it. Dak Prescott's last 10 games against the Giants. Do you know his record?
I think we're about to find out.
I believe this is the Giants spot, not the Commander or the Cowboys spot. But anyway,
I mean, look, it was brought up. Does anybody have a guess? Last 10 games of Dak Prescott against the Giants?
It'll be high.
Daniel, I saw your hand go to the mouse. No kidding.
Yeah. I'm going to guess.
It's going to have to be 10-0.
Yeah, I'm going to guess 10-0.
Well, but that's why it's such a big game for the Giants. If they can grab it. The caveat there was if they can snatch, and it would be a snatching, I reckon, because you guys are by far and above them. If they can snatch it, it would be huge. But yeah, this is from a Giants perspective as well, looking at these games.
There's a lot of ways you get belief instilled in a team, and that's a team that would actually have a lot of self-belief given how far they cleared the bar in 2022.
Absolutely.
Breaking hoodoos is massively one of them. It's one of those things. You go and play a familiar opponent who's had the measure of you for a half decade and get a win. It makes you ask that question, who can't we beat? Especially when they're a good team. It's not like you're beating up on them when they're expected to go 6-11. When they're back to be a talented roster that's going to do some damage and you can cause that snap that type of streak, it's the type of thing that just... it really reframes where you sit, especially in an NFC, which at least coming into the season, people are talking about as a three-horse race. You beat one of those horses. Who's a familiar opponent? It's a divisional game. It counts as 1.5, essentially, if not double. It really does put your mindset in a really different stratosphere.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I think we've spoken about the two teams that doesn't really matter on this podcast. The two teams that we need to talk about that are going to take up the most time. Before we get there, I've got a couple of things. First one, Proudly second half brought to you by American Connection with a K. Find them through our socials. Again, 10% off with the code Any Given Sunday. And live, I've just got a message from the old faithful Flog Boy. He's just received his merch. literally just sent me a photo and says how much he loved it. He's got a San Fran t-shirt. So, Lodge, you're going to have to get on board. And there is a Cowboys shirt there, mate, and buy some of the merch. But he literally just sent me a message and said how much he loves it. And the shading, Danny, he said, looks crisp. So
beautiful.
We've done well, mate. We've done very well.
We have done well. Are we going Cowboys first or are we going your Birds?
Of course, we're going the Cowboys first. The Birds are going to go last. Who won the division?
Valid.
They got the final spot.
You guys can just clip that sound. Clip that little Birds got to go last. Just clip it. I'm not saying you need it.
Use it any which way you like.
So we've gone through the Cowboys draft once before, but we'll go through it again. So round one, pick 26. Defensive tackle, Mazie Smith from Michigan. Round two, pick 58, tight end, Luke Schoonmaker from Michigan. Round three, pick 90, the edge, DeMarvion Overshown.
DeMarvion Overshown, you nailed it, mate.
Yep. Hey. From Texas. Nice. Yeah. Then we'll move on to their outs. Well, there's a massive question mark before we get to that, probably on the running back, Ezekiel Elliott. I've read an article today that talks that they're bringing him back, but not confirmed yet. So I'm putting him under massive question mark. Whether he's in or out.
Look at that. Cut him off.
other notable outs, wide receiver Noah Brown, wide receiver T.Y. Hilton, tight end Dalton Schultz, offensive tackle Jason Peters, offensive guard Connor McGovern.
Did that hurt saying Jason Peters? As an Eagles fan, did that one sting a little bit? Just saying that after a Cowboys, knowing that he wore the silver.
Defensive line, Carlos Watkins, linebacker, Anthony Barr, quarterback, Anthony Brown, and the kicker, Brett Maher. Close enough, aren't we?
Maher as in Jimmy.
Yeah.
If you're old enough to remember.
Bulls legend.
So the Inns have picked up the running back for the Chiefs, Ronald Jones, wide receiver Brandon Cooks from the Texans, cornerback Stephon Gilmore from the Colts.
All right, boys, if you have anything you need to do, you've probably got 20 minutes. We'll leave Loz just in your boat.
You've got me in... I haven't got my objective professional hat on yet because I'm not that deep into preseason yet. But what you have got me on is the start of fantasy football season, which is when the trash talking really starts to kick in. And I feel that's what I've delivered more than anything so far today. It may have started earlier today when I saw a couple of members of my fantasy league and just started a few mind games talking about how like massive and yoked one of the guys looks. So he's looking really great and just like keep it up, trying to get him to spend a little too much time in the gym. And a little less time prepping for the season. Just those type of things. We have may not have a prank lined up for draft day that I'm not going to reveal now in case they see it, but make sure when I come back on during the season, I'll let you in on that. It does involve a shared passion with several of us on here, so we can touch on that later. But yeah, look, the last two names you mentioned there, Cooks and Gilmore, I think that's where we're starting, right? We're talking about day three picks, fifth round compensatory picks that were sent over, as well as good financials, particularly with the Cooks deal where they got the Texans to take on a bit of the money as well. Reports from camp, surprise, surprise, reports from camp, positive. It's certainly that time of year. The hopium, as we call it, is flying around the NFL. Everybody's that hope springs eternal. Everyone's feeling pretty sharp about their rosters. But word on Cooks is, man, that speed is real. It's the type of speed they haven't seen in Dallas at a legitimate wide receiver in quite some time. They've had a lot of guys that were in that kind of 4.45, 4.5, speed range. Even someone like Amari Cooper was a little lower than that, but it was obviously a few years into his career when he arrived. Certainly, the chemistry with Dak Prescott and Cooks appears to be in a good stead early on. Stephon Gilmore, you're just hearing praise about the professionalism, the detail. Trayvon Diggs just being an absolute sponge around him as they form that cornerback duo, as well as some of the other younger corners. You've got Deron Bland, who stepped in as the nickel corner last year when Jordan Lewis went down injured, had 5 interceptions as a rookie. Really impressive. That type of that they feel very happy with what they've acquired and certainly the price they paid for it. You mentioned Mozzie Smith. Not too much noise around him yet because, like we talked about, we're talking about 320-330 pound defensive tackle before you get pads on. You're not going to tell a whole bunch from, glorified walkthroughs, essentially. People are excited for those early training camp practices, but when it comes to line of scrimmage, they're not showing you everything. But if his press conferences are anything to go by, he's got Cowboys media and fan on his side, where he's basically stone cold said to the cameras and to the microphone that I don't do any trash talking. I'm not here to talk. He jokingly said, it's not even about loving football. I just love hitting people. That'll certainly get fans up and about and onside. So a stoic presence for Mozzie. I did have a cringe moment where someone from the Cowboys media or the surrounding beat asked him if he'd ever heard the Aussie, Aussie, Aussie chant that Australian athletes get, which I can see the eyes rolling, like cannot stand. I was so close to turning off, shutting the video and closing the computer at the time. But he said no and shut it down straight away. So that just lifts him up further. I mean, that might even lift him up in Danny's book, and he's an Eagles fan. But, you know, the more we can get away from the Aussie, Aussie, Aussie chant and come up with something more creative and not have it seep into, you know, another chapter of my sporting world, the Cowboys, the better. Thank you.
Something new. Yeah.
I think for the Cowboys, hype around Dallas always, right? Like, there's always just noise. I think it's important to separate hype from belief. I don't think in the punditry circles, certainly not if you go on social media or check out certain commentators today, I don't think there's a lot of belief in the Cowboys. I think people see them as limited in the playoffs, have questions about Dak Prescott, the interception narrative, which is tired out and has questionable substance. But anyway.
Which I was going to say, you defended today?
Yeah, I did. I think the clips of interceptions being circulated around, you know, one interception, two interceptions through five practices or something, and then using that to build a narrative, I think, for any team and any quarterback, I think, is not exactly in line with how I would perceive the performances. Let's just say that. But there is a certain former Eagles player who's been very vocal on a certain studio show over in the States that has made his thoughts. I'm very clear on that, but this is what this time of year is about. It is an overreaction time, but actual substance around the Cowboys, a couple of injuries in that really deep secondary, probably not the way they wanted to start, with Israel Mukwamu, talented young defensive back, and Donovan Wilson, both dealing with leg injuries. Wilson's a touch and go for week one, it sounds like. That's the kind of timeline. One of that three-pronged starting safety looks with Malik Hooker and Jaron Kearse. But I think you look across that roster, I think the question mark, some about linebacker too, will a young player emerge there? And the offensive line, the depth in the middle, Zach Martin out wanting a bit more money. I'm perfectly in line with Dak Prescott's thoughts on the matter, which is pay the man, through a Hall of Fame guard. You know, there's, when you're talking about contracts, I think there's a big difference between someone wanting to go from, you know, the tough point of someone being on a rookie deal and wanting to erupt into the $20+ million mark. That's always such a big divide that they're just going to take time. We're talking about somebody who's already in the mid-teens and millions wanting to be pushed up towards the $20 million mark. It's for a few years. You can tack on ghost years to the end of the contract to, you know, spread out the cap hit. These aren't things that destabilize your cap. These aren't the things that are going to cause you not to be able to sign Micah Parsons or CeeDee Lamb or insert next young talent. It's not really the things that throw your checkbook up in the air. So I would hope the Cowboys come to a resolution there. Zach Martin telling his offensive line teammates, Tyler Smith in particular, that don't worry, I'll be there soon, I think is ideally where we end up here, where this is sorted out, where they meet in the middle, or they say it's, you know, a $6 million raise, but really it's $3 million a year raise and there's some incentives. But I imagine we get back to that spot. But I think that's where the Cowboys kind of sit at this point. A lot of noise, a lot of hype to be expected, but not a lot of belief in the wider circles, which is an interesting place for that team to be.
So just on that, like, I was watching a video of a certain TV presenter, not going to name names, today, and he was saying that look at the quarterbacks in the NFC as a whole. He's like, let's put Jalen Hurts in a little box over one side. Let's talk about the rest of it. It's like, which quarterback is actually going to take on the Cowboys and beat them?
Yeah, it's a fair question. Like the San Francisco 49ers, we don't know which of the three it's going to be. And especially when, and as a absolute, just there are some loves that there's some crushes. We all know this, that you can move on quickly, you know, especially, you know, in your school years, you know, they tend to, you know, move on. You know, a new Nintendo 64 game comes out and all of a sudden your heartbreak from the day at school is passed on. There's some loves that die harder though. And my lingering love for Sam Darnold is one of those. And when I see him connecting with beautiful, you know, spirals to Brandon Ayuk, the real wide receiver one in San Francisco, let's normalize that thinking. You do start to, you know, my heart starts to flutter again, and I know I'm about to get myself in trouble. It's like a scene from a movie when a, you know, main character spots a pair of eyes across the dance floor and knows that he or she is about to just be in a whole world of trouble. That's me and Sam Darnold. And it doesn't help when the San Francisco 49ers put it out in, you know, glossy slow-mo with a really shallow depth of feel, and it's, you know, it's all, the contrast is beautiful. What's the guy supposed to do? It's a fair question. Do you look at, you know, how much belief do you have in Geno Smith and Jared Goff that were at certain points of the career and had...
Picking Geno. You know,
yeah. But is someone going to be able to show sustainability there? But, you know, Geno Smith deep ball was one of the stories of the NFL for a huge chunk of last season. So it is a fair question. You look at the rookies as well, especially someone like a Bryce Young. Can someone catch fire? Because it does seem that... that quarterback ranking in the NFC is so... We talked about the AFC last time I was on and how, like, it felt like the roster, the schedule was so good. And one of the theories I was throwing out is because the AFC is so stacked with quarterbacks that any matchup that an AFC team is in, it's like a 75% chance that you've got an absolutely entertaining, you know, signal caller in there. The NFC is the opposite of that. But talent does rise. You know, growth isn't... You know, quarterback progression or quarterback form is not a straight line. So just as much as it appears like it's Hurts and Dak at the top of that tree, you know, gaps on the offensive line, chemistry not looking as good in the regular season as it does in training camp, you know, it's not going to take much for someone to rocket up that leaderboard and challenge the status quo.
Yeah. All right. Quiet, Kat, because Danny is... going to have to leave us shortly, so we're going to leave your schedules. We're going to do two at the back. Danny, so he can talk about his birds a little bit before he does have to ship off. His ins and outs for the birds, and then we'll finish off with the two schedules. Danny, go.
Yeah, beautiful. So the obvious winners of the 2023 draft, the Philadelphia Eagles, they picked up round one, pick 9, Jalen Carter from Georgia. Round one, pick 30, Nolan Smith, also from Georgia. Round three, pick 65, Tyler Steen from Alabama. Their notable outs, this one hurts. Javon Hargrave went to the 49ers. Matt Leo's retired. That hurts us Aussie fans. Miles Sanders, this man back here. he's gone to the Panthers. This list is actually shocking. I can't believe you know me doing this. Offensive tackle, Andre Dillard, he's gone to Titans. Then wide receiver Zach Pascal, he's out as well. The safety, CJ Gardner-Johnson's got the Lions. Linebacker, Kaiser White, Cardinals. Safety, Marcus Epps is gone to the Raiders. Linebacker, TJ Edwards gone to the Bears. Tough list. That was a hard one to go through. Some notable ins, though, which I think is an upgrade in the running back room. We've got DeAndre Swift and Rashad Penny from the Lions and the Seahawks. Quarterback Marcus Mariota from the Falcons is going to be backing up Jalen Hurts, which I think is a really decent pickup, especially after losing Gardner Minshew, which I didn't mention. I don't know why. Minshew-mania. don't know how I missed that one. Then picked up safety Terrell Edmonds from the Steelers, linebacker Nicholas Moreau from the Bears, safety Justin Evans from the Saints, cornerback Greedy Williams from the Browns. Yeah. And then obviously a few heavy hitters have re-signed on for at least one more year. Kelsey, Slay, Boston Scott, Brandon Graham. So a lot of our starters have come back, which is good. Like, none of the best starters are back. And then we've had a few upgrades in there as well.
Can you talk about these guys, Loz, or are these just like
burning
words coming out of your mouth?
The ins and outs, it's almost a case of the outs that were almost. But that actually came back. But where the conversation was around Kelsey's possible retirement, where the conversation was about Slay and Bradbury, could both be gone? Could one be gone? Which one? They're both back. But those, I think those were hugely telling. And whilst I know I could see, I could hear, I could not empathize, but, you know, empathize, not sympathize. With the pain that I could hear as you were reading the outs there, they did do a good job of stemming what was thought to be going to be one of the most historic, you know, post-Super Bowl appearance exoduses of talent. And credit to Harry Roseman and the Eagles staff for getting that done. The early early injury, or the just not early injury, but the slow return of Hassan Reddick dealing with a bit of a groin early in camp. You know, not anything you ever want to see with. It's not ideal. But that opening up Nolan Smith to get run with the first team in these early training camp practices and what he's putting down, which I was a huge, huge fan. The fact that you guys picked up Carter and Smith, you know, was for every NFC East rival fan base and media beat group, they're all looking around going, really, really, we let that happen? Mm-hmm. Him, you know, jumping off the line of scrimmage immediately and making an impact in training camp is not a surprise. And that Eagles franchise model, one of their key tenets of continually invest up front in the big boys and the talent on the line of scrimmage on both sides, line of scrimmage, looks like it's come to fruition again. Offensive line is still in check. You know, AJ Brown having a massive day in the past 24 hours of training camp. I think this, it's such a stacked team. I think the question marks, you know, it's not dissimilar from the Cowboys, just looking at that kind of linebacker spot. It, you know, it doesn't overwhelm you. Again, really like N'Kobe Dean, another value that the Eagles have got in recent drafts, not having to pay a premium price there. Him stepping into a starting role, if healthy, love the player. And obviously, he's got familiar big boys up front with plenty of his former college teammates there. Yeah. On the Athens Eagles. As for and then looking at that safety spot as well, I don't think it's overwhelmingly convincing. But so much talent elsewhere. I think we know who the Eagles were last year. We can see how much of that talent has returned. They have earned, not benefit of the doubt, because I don't think there's much doubt. They've just earned that consistent praise and respect of the rest roster that's been put together. It's just the interesting thing is in go through the schedule. Is how much is it going to look different? I'm interested to hear the matches we've picked out here to the quarterbacks that they faced last year, because whilst the Eagles took care of business and earned all the street cred in the world making it to the Super Bowl, we know that that run to the Super Bowl did not present them with week in, week out matchups of the highest order. You know, they played Dak once. Unfortunately, Jalen Hurts was out of that game. So Dak and Jalen didn't go toe-to-toe. But they played Dak once, and the Cowboys put up numbers. They obviously played Patrick Mahomes. I think what would the next best performance be against either the Giants or the Vikings, probably? So neither of those are giving you a whole bunch, but new season, you know, a mentality in Philly, as tough as it is to get back to the dance after losing one, the energy that that team and the identity of that team is built around, hard to believe that they're not back in there sharpening iron with iron.
Yeah, absolutely. And like having that strong offensive line, and like between them and the Chiefs, they do realistically have two of the best offensive lines in the league. So if you're bringing that back, Jalen Hurts is only, obviously what we hear from camp is what we hear from camp, but he's coming out saying that he's improved from last year, and he was playing phenomenal towards, like, that Super Bowl performance that he had was incredible.
That was the best game of his career.
Nothing short of it. So if he's improved on that and he's coming back and the offensive line's going to be there to protect him, I still, like, as much as I love to put my Eagles hat on and be really biased, I honestly do think they are going to be one of the more dominant teams again, which is hopefully they can just shake off any form of Super Bowl hangover in the first upcoming weeks and then, you know, go on to take care of business this time, hopefully.
It would just be interesting against those matchups what we see. Like, when you look at that roster, I'll flip it over to you. When you look at the roster, say something like the secondary where, like, Slay, highly regarded, Bradbury's had resurgent years after it got squirrely there for the Giants' time. When you look at, say, the secondary, do you have any concerns of age fall-off or anything like that? Or do you feel like, given the challenge, the increased challenge of quarterbacks they'll face this year, that you feel they're talented enough to rise to it?
No, that is going to be the tough part. Like, Slay wasn't the player he was 2 years ago. You saw his decline last year. And I think that was the question, like, when they were... Because the Eagles, they released him. They let him go find another contract, and he couldn't. So then he kind of came back. So there was obviously... The Eagles knew, Howie knew that there was a bit of decline there, and it was more to kind of see, you know, which safety they're actually going to be bringing back and which ones they're going to be letting go. I'm not 100% completely confident in the secondary and how they're going to go facing these stronger quarterbacks, but hopefully the mentality that Philly are going to be bringing, that's going to be enough that they're going to, you know, outperform themselves again and Slay hopefully get back to how he was playing in 2021.
We've talked about so many big names, but really I think we're bearing the lead here when we're talking about these two teams, Cowboys and the Eagles. The matchup I'm thinking, I mentioned N'Kobe Dean, undersized linebacker. You know, that first screen pass to 5 foot nothing, Juice Vaughn out in the flat, you know, ready to pull a move. Then you've got 5'10", whatever it is, N'Kobe D, maybe a gentleman 6 foot flying after him. I mean, we're talking about massive bodies here coming together. That amount of undersized but ridiculous pace and anticipation of football instincts coming together, that's what I'm geared up for. Everybody else can talk about quarterbacks and your top tens and the wide receiver talent and $97 million for Trayvon Diggs and Stephon Gilmore, Brandon Cooks, the offensive line, all that, Hall of Famers. Give me N'Kobe Dean buzzing into the flat to try and take down Deuce Vaughn at all of, I think he's 5'4", 5'5". And who comes out of that? That's what I'm gearing up for in the NFC East this year. And if you want anything else, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. The videos of Deuce Vaughn at training camp where he's running around just looks like a little toddler that's stolen something. It's all like
the helmets they wear during training camp with the rugby padding.
Doesn't
over
do
the
any
top.
Favors, does
no,
it?
No, yeah. It's really not helping him out. Like it's your ratios are not being serviced too well there for Deuce Vaughn. But tell you what, some of the most fun take you see out of any player, his stuff at Kansas State. That was and against Alabama and teams like that as well. There's a move that he pulled on some poor defensive back where he gives him the move he's going to give, but just the Diet Coke version or the Coke Zero version or whoever's sponsoring. Like just a little one. And then just like three strides later does the proper full ball one and the guy's just like, I don't know, man. Like there's 6 points. Just go take it. Like I don't know what to tell you. You can't bring me, the appetizer and the main course, within 3 yards of each other. It's a bit cruel. But fun times ahead and the NFC beast that's back.
Oh yeah.
Hell yeah.
All righty, Cardi, no pressure on. But yes, see you later, Danny. Go you go do what you need to do. But Karts, no pressure. Let's get into those Cowboys
Philly Bulldogs. What Loz is going to think of these? So, we'll go back to your Cowboys. We'll start with you guys. Week two against the Jets at home. Mm. I just think the hype surrounding the Aaron Rodgers trade, and obviously it's going to be massive those first few weeks, and them
against
figuring
McCarthy.
It all out. So massive
against Mike McCarthy.
Yeah,
that man has tormented the Cowboys. You know, the Dez caught a game. The Jared Cook catch game with the field goal, like the man that Cowboys desperados somewhat tragically called the GOAT, Jeff Heath, safety number 38, back, rotational safety, getting a clean hit on Aaron Rodgers, sack fumble ends the game, and somehow Rodgers clings onto that ball, still is like one of the sports science conundrums that keeps Cowboys faithful up at night. Yeah, it's a great game. I thought. Just looking on early on, I thought that had Thanksgiving written all over it. But to get it as early as week two, giddy up.
Yeah, exactly. Week five, you're heading over to San Fran to take on the 49ers. Bit of a beast of a team. Again, I know you've already touched on your love for Sam, but big game. Obviously, week nine, you've already touched on it, against the Eagles at in Philly. In Philly, so away. So you're playing them away first. You've got the bye in week seven, I believe. So you got an earlier bye. So a couple of little games to tune up before the game against the Eagles. Then week 13, you got the Seahawks at home. I'm just kind of bullish on the Seahawks. I like their prospects this year. I think they'll be a bit of a team. And then rounding out the year, week 18, the Commanders away. You dropped that game last year. So obviously looking to fix up that result. Losing the game to the Commander, who, by all rights, you should be absolutely steamrolling, particularly that time of year. You want to be hitting your straps heading into playoffs. So week 18, looking to fix that result from last year.
Yeah, and you'd want to hope those aging pieces on the Cowboys offensive line. It's kind of, you've got Tyron, you've got Zach Martin, hopefully, but then you've got Tyler Smith, Tyler Biadasz, and Terrence Steele. A lot of T's. T's on that. Gets me every time. But you want to be feeling pretty healthy against that Washington team, because if you're up there with a piecemeal offensive line against that defensive talent, like they can end that night pretty quickly. Like it's the fastest route to the quarterback is from the defensive tackle position. They got talent there, but they got absolute hellraisers on the outside as well. No, I love the games you picked up there. I think, the Seahawks Cowboys have had some absolute classics. I think back to, the Cowboys under the Romo era in that 2014 Dez Cordit year during the regular season, going into Seattle and getting a victory there. Romo with a 3rd-and-20 escape madness against the Legion of Boom and hit Terrence Williams toe tap on the sideline, I want to say. So there's been some cracking games over the year. Pete Carroll versus Mike McCarthy. There's certainly some coaching history there. While we're talking about what happens in the playoffs, I'm pretty sure it was that same playoffs, the Des Cordic year, that would have been the Bostic fumble onside kick that cost.
Let's not keep bringing up this shit. Des didn't catch it.
I'm right though.
Keith actually I've been slowly dying when that game has wiped
my memory. All right.
But that, you know, my brain's somewhat sharp right now, so that's unfortunate for you that I can actually remember this right now.
We call this like weaponized nostalgia or something. Like, it's amazing. T-Mac was just leaking.
That's you can see the veins in my head, isn't it? That's what it's all about. It's finding the pain that our, you know, our friends have endured as football fans, and using it to needle them just when hope should be, you know, rising green as spring again. So yeah,
I think Love's going to be the MVP. Let's just remember that.
Put on top of the head.
I'm trying to beat the same drum, and I know I've got my own time schedule I've got to hit to here. But you talk about putting a quarterback in position to succeed. That's a good offensive line. They, you know, it's not first round wide receivers, but Love, Luke Musgrave. How are we doing a Packers podcast now?
Yeah, but like, always turns out to
really
be
like
worry.
Really like Reed, the young wide receiver they added in the middle of the draft. And, you know, they have defensive talent on paper. They kept the same defensive coordinator. And, you know, you could go broke betting on that Packers defense to finally come good. But let's not bury it now. So, yeah, I love what you picked out there. But no shortage of primetime games with the Cowboys. But that NFC East in particular is, you know, yes, people are going to talk about Eagles, Cowboys at the top. But Giants will be hungry. Giants are a problem. Giants are clever and creative on offense. Should have a better secondary as well with some of their ins and outs. With some of the talent they've tried to add there. And look, Washington have, you know, last time we saw this, Washington have the wood on them. And that's worth every bit. The Cowboys weren't intentionally trying to lay down in that game. It's a bona fide victory. And it's the same quarterback who'll be certainly, while he may have doubts and young quarterback feelings and ups and downs this season, one game that he'll be able to source a whole bunch of confidence from is when he does see the star on the opposite side of the sideline.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're right, you do have a time limit, but you leave whenever you need to leave. Have you done the Eagles schedule yet, Cards?
No, I have. I've been making notes as we've been going. It's good. So, Eagles schedule, week two, Vikings at home, Thursday night football. Big game just off the back of the big year that the Vikings had, I thought. Big game. Week seven, Miami. We haven't touched on playing the AFC East, so a bit of a beast of a division as well. So if Tua's healthy, you know, Tyreek, they've got that absolutely stacked offensive core. Week seven against the Finns. Let me just check. It is at home for the Eagles.
Jalen Ramsey in that one.
Yeah, so big game there. Week 11, Monday Night Football. They've got the Chiefs in Kansas City. Massive game coming off the bye. The Eagles got the bye week 10. So coming off the bye, you know, probably freshened up, ready to go. But then the Chiefs could be rolling. Who knows? Massive game, obviously. Super Bowl replay. And then week 18 again against the Giants. They're coming off the 6 day breaks leading into that week 18 game that I think the Commanders had that we mentioned. No, the Giants had, sorry. So just if, you know, if the bodies are feeling it, bruised and battered at the end of the year, rolling into week 18, coming into playoffs. Big game. You don't want to drop that one. So that's my five games there.
Yeah, nice. Now, at this point in the show, normally if you've got a couple more minutes, Kart is going to go through what he thinks is the win-loss record. And now I know you're a Disney man, so I'll pick whether they go overs or unders. I don't know if you're allowed to or not, but
That's fine. No drama.
Well, you give us your win loss as well. So we'll zip through. So yep. Eagles, I've got going 13-4.
Ooh, yeah, I had them 12-5.
Yeah. Okay. I'll go 12-5 just to be rude.
What was yours?
12-5 for Loz.
Yeah, 11.5 is their official.
Just based on playing AFC East, I think is where a few of these lines are sitting, and probably. I think for me, records for everyone just a little bit worse than last year, but just based off, you know, you're playing the AFC beast.
It's four top 10 defenses in all likelihood. real chance that we end the season with that much. I shouldn't say all likely, but there's a very good chance that the AFC East presents that tier of defense week in, week out. And like the Eagles have a really tough run as well. I think there's like a 5-6 week stretch right in the middle of their season that is absolute.
It's a tough schedule. They're a stacked team. So 13-4, I think that's pretty good. Your Cowboys, don't jump through the screen. 10-7, I've gone.
Oh, I went 10-7.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go 11-6 just because of the health permitting, what I expect out of that defense.
I like it.
9.5 is the official. And there were so many games. I think for all of them, you're like, 50-50, like home run.
Looking at the schedule, so many games you're like, oh, it could go this way, it could go that way.
I think I went a lot of them, if it was at home, I was kind of leaning towards them. I think on all four teams, like even the Commanders at the back end, I think you'll be a little bit surprised with mine, but
yeah. The Giants I've got sitting at 8-9.
I went 10-7 as well.
Okay.
I'll do 9-8 for the Giants.
Like 7.5 is their official, so I reckon probably overs for them.
There you go. I've got them dropping a game from last year. But then, rounding out the Commanders, I've got them going 7-9.
It'll be 7-10.
7-10. Beg your pardon, 7-10.
Yeah, see,
Maybe they'll have another draw.
Yeah, 7-9-1.
That was meant to be 7-10.
I think, they were such another one that was a 50-50 team, and it reflects with the 8-9 that I gave them.
8-9.
Yeah, I'm gonna be the mean guy here, and I'll say 6-11.
Yes.
And again, let's talk about those defenses. It's what you got against the Eagles. It's what you got against the Cowboys, and then you got blitz happy New York Giants. And then let's talk about who's blocking those four AFC.
The blocking is the biggest problem I had.
I don't think they're going to get blown out. I think they're going to be one of these teams where I think Bill Barnwell, ESPN Zone, after each season or going into each season, has that narrow victory metric and like how many one-score games you were part of and how many did you win, how many did you lose, what's the regression to mean. Wouldn't surprise me if Washington are in like 8 one-score games and it doesn't go their way and perhaps that lack of foundation on offense up front is something that can hurt you when you're closing in a close game there, especially when I just lined up how many nasty pass rushes. Like the Giants secondary is question mark, linebacker has not been a historic strength in recent years, but do we want to talk about who they got up front when you talk about Dexter Lawrence and and Kayvon Thibodeau and Azeez Ojulari? Like there's talent up front. And you mentioned A'shaun Robinson, a lot of stoutness. Like that's just, I think when you just, it's one thing to look at overall talent. It's one thing to look at numbers and, they're on the road here. Road and home and away. But they're, on the road for this many stretches and this many games in a row. But just looking at what are the strengths that they're up against. And just that's a little, I don't think it'll be a bad coaching job. I don't think it'll be a bad performance. I don't think it'll be a season that Washington fans will come away feeling really lowly about. But just don't like those matchups. And I do personally think that we might be looking at a new head coach when we're talking this time next year.
Okay.
So there's 6.5 is their line. So you've gone unders, Loz, and we're sitting very close overs. So that's a real tough one there, I think. I do love that you are on a time limit and you get on a tangent and you just keep going. We just can't stop you. It's brilliant. There'll be no surprise. The Eagles are $1.74 to take out the division. Cowboys, $2.85. Could be a little bit of juice to jump on.
Juicy.
Then we got the Giants at $7.50, and the football team is at $15. So probably stay away.
Save your pennies there, I think.
Yeah, I reckon the Cowboys are $2.85s.
Cowboys are $2.85
especially if they start off hot. Yeah. Could be interesting. Loz,
that town's Sydney gets called the fickle sports town. Here I go again. Time limit. Panders.
Hey, no.
Cowboys. Yeah. Dallas is a football town, but it certainly does have its fickle kind of sceney nature about it. Not unlike Sydney in some ways. Their sports fans can jump, hot and cold, but that place is a true football town, especially when that thing gets going. And I know we were joking about Zeke before, but 2016 rookie year against Detroit when that team was rolling, I was in the stadium and they got to the goal line and wanted to feed Zeke chant, and that Zeke chant rang around the stadium. And look, maybe it's just because I've grown up with homebushes, the big stadium locally for me, But I hadn't heard something ring around a stadium like that before. That was truly unique. They can get up and going, but that is, it's a tough schedule. It's a tough slate than last year. And that division is getting better. And they'd want to make sure that old number 70 there, Zach Martin, is happily paid for and taken care of.
Pay the man.
Pay the man.
They will hear this.
You guys are America's team. There's no pressure. Never any pressure being there.
Nah, whatsoever.
Nah.
Beautiful. Loz, we appreciate your time and just sitting back and watching you and Danny going head to head. I was just happy to sitting back and watching. It was very elite viewing, and I'm sure all the people on YouTube are going to love sitting back and watching. We'll definitely get you back on during the season, especially after Cowboys go 0-5 and you'll be crying.
Look. I'll say one thing. The Cowboys fans of this day and age, the last decade in particular, I'm not sure what Cowboys fans would know what to do with success if it happened, if sustained success happened. Sometimes it feels almost waiting for the chaos and the calamity to hit, because that is the natural habitat, the natural environment in which they thrive.
Beautiful. It's going to be a very interesting season for the NFC East, and we look forward to watching and following along with you, mate. Karts, always thank you for staying to the end. We'll dock Danny's pay a little bit this week, so
yeah, just chuck it onto mine,
chuck it onto yours. Maybe we'll split it. I stay till the end as well, so
no, but you have to be here.
Yeah, fair enough. Probably the AFC East next week by the sounds of it.
Sure.
Yep, sounds good. Yeah, I don't know what Danny had in plan, but that's what we've got. So let's wrap this up, boys. Well done. You can find us on all of the socials, AGSAU podcast on Twitter, anygivensunday.au, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, or Any Given Sunday Australia podcast. Loz, what are you on Twitter?
At Laurie Horesh, spelt very, very much the way Laurie's normally spelt, with a U, not a W, people. Come on now. And Horesh, Horesh. And then on the Instagrams and Threads and all that, it's at ESPN Laws. There we go, Threads. At ESPN Laws. But yeah, I'll be gibbering somewhere. You can find me. And obviously over at ESPN.com.au for all the best stuff. And we're rounding in a couple of weeks away from the NFL Breaky Show kicking back off. Yeah. So should be a massive season. I'm excited by what we've got cooking. The Google Doc between me and my co-host Bill Murphy is filling up nicely.
I look forward to us being a special guest on your show. That'll be great.
Naturally.
Thank you very much, gentlemen, and we'll see you next week. Oh, and enjoy tomorrow. Football's back.
Football's back.
Hell yeah.
I don't want to stop it. There we go.